We're having a lot of fun producing La Rundown, so we're seeking support from advertisers to help keep it going for the long run. You can help too. We have a short anonymous survey that shouldn't take longer than a pre-run warm-up. Your answers will help us find great advertisers that help match the cadence of each show and your interests. Complete the survey and enter for a chance to win a pair of Skechers Performance running shoes. You can find the survey link in the episode description. Terms and conditions apply. Welcome to La Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite runners to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Previously on La Rundown with Rachel Cliff.
You really can only deal with the pieces you have, and you know, I'm not likely to be a sub 15 minute 5K runner. Like, it's just not going to be me, so I need to find a way to find joy. And you know, I think I can run on the 15:10s. I think I can break 15:20, and that's not as impressive as some other people in the world, but I think a lot of it is finding joy in what you can achieve and how you can get there. I think that's how you enjoy the sport.
On this episode of La Rundown, I talked with avid runner and co-director of the Take the Bridge race series, Darcy Budworth. She grew up in Portland, a running mecca coincidentally nicknamed Bridgetown, but didn't fall in love with running until she moved to New York City. She adored the local community, and after participating in a few unsanctioned races, decided to create her own. Today, they race in all major cities, and even have a Take the Bridge podcast to spread the word. Find out about her journey and how she's grown her race from a local event to an international success. This episode of The Rundown is proud to be sponsored by Lululemon, the brand powering a global Take the Bridge road trip in 2019. It's an amazing partnership because both advocate a well-rounded approach to running, one of inclusivity, connection, individual drive, and most importantly, fun. Take the Bridge is an unsanctioned road race that was born in New York in 2015, and Lululemon has helped make it international. Next up is Montreal on Friday, September 20th, right in time for marathon weekend. If you want to race, make sure to sign up when registration goes live at noon on Monday, September 9th. There are only 40 spots for men and 40 for women, and it sells out fast. If you're not racing, you can help out by volunteering, cheering on your friends, and supporting your community. As with all Take the Bridge events, there will be an after party with food, drinks, and local DJs. For details on how to join, whether you want to run, cheer, or volunteer, check for updates at Take the Bridge on Instagram. See you there. In this week's news, on August 18th, Cody Beals went 3-for-3 at Ironman Mont-Tremblant. Beals beat out fellow Canadian Lionel Sanders for the championship by about 7 kilometers, a result many were uncertain about after he spent a season with an Achilles injury. With the win, Cody also set a new course record, completing the race in 7 hours and 58 minutes. The 29-year-old Guelph, Ontario native actually secured his spot for the Ironman World Championships in Kona after his second win in Chattanooga. Stay tuned to La Rundown for an upcoming episode with Beals. Episode 24 guest Antoine Joly-Kerr was also racing Mont-Tremblant and kept up nicely with Beals and Sanders. He was overcome by the pair in the bike portion of the race, with Beals and Sanders 14 minutes ahead of him. Desrush still managed to finish 12th overall, although we know he was hoping for a better result. On the women's side, American athlete Sarah True took the lead out of the water, surpassing both Meredith Kessler and Carrie Lester by 6 seconds and a minute 12 respectively. Lester quickly overtook first place on the bike portion of the race and never looked back. She managed to hold the lead throughout the run and ended up crushing the old course record, finishing with a time of 8 hours, 48 minutes, and 26 seconds. A 14-year-old runner named Kate Peters is taking the running world by storm, and she hasn't even started high school yet. Kate recently ran a 5:53 half marathon pace, proving that she might one day be the teen to follow in the footsteps of 15-year-old Tiernan Wolfgram, who qualified for the Olympic marathon trials at Twin Cities. She won't be running a marathon just yet, though. Her parents and coach want to make sure she paces herself properly and gives high school the attention it needs. In the meantime, Kate has come up with her own training schedule, and has a great advantage. She trains at her dad's work, Nike. With his job in IT for the company, Kate's father is able to give her access to the company campus's training facilities. Combine that with the fact that she's been running with her mother and sister since she was little, her sheer talent, and access to top training grounds, we have no doubt Kate Peters is set for success and is definitely one to watch. Make sure to check the show notes for links and more information. That's all for now. Gotta run. Today, we're very lucky to have a guest in from New York City. She is one of the co-creators of Take the Bridge. So if you haven't heard about it, we're going to talk about it at length and kind of speak about its origins and where it's come, how far it's come today. So we're really lucky to have in the studio today, Darcy Budworth.
Hi.
Welcome to The Rundown.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you got in Tuesday, I think, right?
I did. I got in Tuesday morning.
And you flew in with a few people? And
just me. Just me.
Oh, just you.
Yeah. So for the week, I always come about a month before our races and just do like scouting, get to know all the community members and run the community. And I always do that by myself.
Nice. So. And how's your trip been so far?
It's been really good.
Yeah.
I've met some really great people.
Who
so
have
far.
You met so far?
So I met with East Laurier, and the founders of East Laurier are like the two girls that are leading that group. And then November Project was there that night too. So they have like a workout on Tuesday nights. And so November Project did like a collaboration with them. And so I met with November Project as well. And then, they had their run at 6:45. And then last night I met with Yamajo and all of the leaders of Yamajo. And then was there for their workout too.
Nice. So, yeah. Excellent. So I just want to know a bit more about you, Darcy. Who is Darcy and like what was your upbringing like? And
yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So I am from Portland, Oregon. I grew up and I say Portland, but honestly, I grew up outside of Portland. It's like on the way up to Mount Hood. It's this town called Gresham, Oregon. I always say it's Southeast Portland, but it's right outside of Southeast Portland. And so I grew up there and I moved to New York 15 years ago. I was studying interiors and architecture at a community college in Oregon. And there's really only one school that is known for architecture in Oregon, and that's U of O. And I applied there, but then I also like out of the whim of my like somebody telling me, I applied to schools in New York too, but never anticipated getting into them. So it was almost like, oh, I'll do that, whatever, you know? And then like, I didn't get into University of Oregon, but I got into like what is ranked one of the top schools in the nation for interior design. And so I was like, well, I guess that's where I'm going.
Let's do that.
And so like, literally I had never gone to New York before. And I was just like, well, I guess I'm moving to New York. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what age was that?
Maybe I was 21, 20, okay. Hold on, I know, 22.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And what's the experience been like for you?
Oh my goodness. I've always felt like, I don't know, Portland, I've always felt very restless in Portland and I always just felt like there was more out there that I was missing out on something. And so when I got to New York, it just felt like home and it was, no matter what, when you go to a new city, I find that, especially if you're older, like there was about a 6 month period where I was like, what the fuck am I doing here? Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait. You're good.
Okay. I'm like, what am I doing here? What did I do? I just upped and left everybody. I can't believe this. And then, about 6 months in, you're just like, no, this is it. This is my home.
Right.
And like, I knew right away, I just fit into New York so well. And it has like this energy and this hustle that like speaks to me.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very much like more, maybe that's your more of who you are kind of.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. Totally.
I've always wanted to go to Portland, Oregon, just for the running.
So Portland is so different now than it is when I lived there. It was definitely not hip when I lived there, and it was people always talk about how it's like stuck in the '90s, and like definitely stuck in the '90s. It's like it. It just feels like that. And it just did not feel hip. And it's very small. And so like right away you get to know everybody there. And it just, I don't know. It just was not the same, but as I've lived here in New York every year, or my family still lives in Oregon. So I go back all the time. And as I go back, I'm just like, oh, I like this place a little bit more now. And now I just spent like all of May in New York or in Portland. And I was like, maybe I should be back here. I don't know.
It's pretty awesome.
It is. And there's some really great people there. The running scene there is a little different than like New York, in that it's definitely like track town, you know, and I am not a short distance track person whatsoever. I do not have the hustle for the track, you know? And so, it scares the crap out of me. Mm-hmm. They have like a ton of track meets, and I have gone to a lot of them when I was there, and you know, like lots of respect for people that do that, but it's just like, oh my goodness, I would be scared shitless to go on that track and do anything. So
for sure. And it's always like the run groups that organize them, or are they open workouts, or?
I think it's, so there's Portland Track Festival, but then I think there's some run groups that do some of the track meets too. But they have everything from like local people that are in those track meets all the way up to like semi-professionals that are running them. And they have all these different heats. So it's like a full gamut of people, but everybody, like, it's definitely track town.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like the Mecca, I think, for running, is what they say.
Totally. Like. But New York is very much of like, come one, come all, like crew running, and like much more of like, we're hanging out together, running on the streets. Right. And what I really love about New York running is that you literally run in the streets with the traffic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it like keeps you alert, and it makes it so that you have to pay attention when you're running. Yeah. I love it. Never a dull moment when you're running in the streets of New York. I'll tell you that.
And there's no mercy, especially from like cab drivers. I can,
you watch out for them. I don't know. Like, you just learn to be able to know whether somebody can see you or not. And, there's this saying of like, if you're going to run in the streets of New York, like, you have to own your space, you know? And so like, you have to run in those streets and like be confident in what you're doing and your moves. And like, almost you make eye contact with the drivers, and they know that you see them, they see you, and like, you make your move, you know? But like, it's definitely like a language, or like something you kind of have to learn, you know?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when did you start running? Like, do you remember?
So I didn't start running until I moved to New York. I grew up, my mom, this is very funny, my mom's like a speed walker.
Okay. Yeah, that is pretty
funny. And like a very good, fast speed walker. Yeah. Where like, so everybody knows the Hood to Coast on the West Coast.
Funny story about that. I got invited to join a team to do it.
Yeah.
It's actually this weekend,
yeah, it's
right?
This weekend.
And like, things didn't work out.
It's a great race. But
I know, but.
Yeah. So I grew up, so there's a speed walking version of it called the Portland to Coast that happens at the exact same time. And so I grew up watching my mom and her team come in for the Portland to Coast every year. And that would be our summer vacation, that like, we had the same house rented on the beach at the end of the Hood to Coast, Portland to Coast. And we'd watch my mom's team come in, but like, they would win every year. This is like how good they are. They would win.
That's much respect.
Yes. And so I did the Hood to Coast one time a few years ago, and it was funny. I brought my mom my medal, and she had all of these medals of her winning the Portland to Coast. But like, the size of the medals are so different nowadays. Like, her medal is like a fraction of the size of my medal from the Hood to Coast.
Right.
So, I grew up, so definitely like an active family. I was on dance team when I was growing up, but like never any kind of sports whatsoever. And then I moved to New York, and you know, I remember seeing people for the first time, like my first year, getting off the train or getting on the train after the marathon, and thinking, these people are crazy. Like, what?
Right.
Just, I don't get this. But like, so many people, it's like a thing in New York. Like, everybody runs. It's just like, it's hard to not get bit by the bug of running in New York, I think. And so I actually, this is kind of a funny story. I dated this guy that was like head of running in New York.
Wow.
And for Nike, sorry. And he would like throw shoes at me and be like, come for a run with me. And I'm like, I am not a runner. No, thank you.
But I like the shoes.
Right. And so, and then eventually it was like, okay, I'll go for a 2 mile run with you. Okay. I'll go for 3 miles. And then like, right before we broke up, he said something to me like, oh, you're not a real runner. And like, that was it. When somebody tells me I can't do something, that's the moment where I'm going to own it.
Mm-hmm. The fire was lit.
And ever since then, I've had the bug.
Wow.
So,
that's incredible.
Yeah.
And you're loving it now.
I love it. I love it so much.
So how often do you run? Like, what are your...
So I've had a hard last 2 years, where the last 2 years I've just gone through one injury after another. And it's been super tough. previously, like, I'd probably run like 40-ish miles a week or so. And then do cross training of like weights and stuff a couple times a week, and then yoga a few times a week. And so that was always my regimen, doing like marathons and half marathons throughout the year. I got injured. My very first injury was about 2 years ago, and it's just been like one after another. And like every once in a while I get like about like 2 to 3 months of good running in, and then I get re-injured. So mm-hmm. I'm working through that. Like I'm working with, there's these people in New York that I work with, Custom Performance, and they have been like, you know, like my family these last 2 years of trying to get me through it, and like super helpful. And like somebody said to me, like, I am just somebody where, you know, I hate taking time off, and the moment I can start running again, I'm going to start doing it. And so like working with people that are like, listen, we need you to listen to us, and we've got your best interest at heart. And like, and somebody said to me the other day, they're like, listen, Darcy, you've got this team of people that only want the best for you. And if you will just stop and listen to them, I bet you you'll get injury free.
And that's the goal for all of us.
Right? And so like, it's just so tough to not, or to listen to somebody and not run, or, you know, like, so it's been really tough, and it's just been a learning lesson for me to be like, I need to like full on listen and do exactly what they tell me to do, because they know better than I do mm-hmm. how to get back.
Yeah. And so, what are some of the things they're telling you? Like,
you know, just like
for all the people, like,
no,
I hear tons of people always, yeah. Oh, I got this injury, that injury, this, like there's yeah. prevention.
No, there totally is. You know, it's just about like one, rest. And like, here's the thing, in especially in New York, that I find is that, you know, the moment I start running, I want to run like every single day, twice a day or whatever, you know, like it's unreal. Like I find that social media in New York, like everybody's working out every day and it's like no days off, and it's like a total thing in New York that everybody lives by. And I've just learned to take a step back and be like, okay, when I am running, I need to chill and like know that I'm not in the same place that I was before, and that I need to slow it down. And like that, you know, like one, to be humble and to realize that I'm not at the place that I was before, and that I need to slow down and like actually enjoy my run and take it easy. But also, I don't have to work out every single day. It's all right. And it's also all right to like take a breather. And, you know, I've been doing like a lot of meditation, a lot of yoga. And like, also what I do with Custom is, I do like a lot of mobility training and strength training as well. And so like I work with this guy, Greg, and he like every week has something for me that's specifically geared towards like whatever injury I'm coming over, or like anything that's like a weakness of mine that I need to be like working on. So I think all that is super important. And it's just something like as you get older, you're a little bit more mindful of it. Right.
Right.
So and then also just all the key things of recovery, like, so they were like, Darcy, you really need to have to focus on your recovery. And like, that's just as important as your running. Right. So like I'm lucky enough to have like those compression boots. So when I am running a lot, like that evening, I lay out with the compression boots, watch a movie, you know, whatever. But also like when I, you know, like icing and then doing all of those little exercises that they tell you to do that most people just go home and they're like, never mind, I'm not going to yeah. do that. I really have to do this. So,
yeah. And keep doing them. Keep yeah. doing them.
And so I've learned to like really lean into biking and cycling in the past couple of years. So like that's like my one thing where it's like, okay, if I can't be running, I can at least be, you know, doing something active, you mm-hmm. know, in addition. And it's almost just like letting go of like, oh, I have to be running, you know, and like being fine with it, you know. And like, here's the thing is there's so many ways of still being, and it's so easy to get like a little down or depressed or sad that you're not running. And what I've found is that it's just as important to just continue to lean into the community of running when you are injured. So I'll still go to runs and maybe I'll like bike alongside everybody when they're running or whatever, you know, like I just make it a point to still continue those friendships within my running so that I'm not missing out on that, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also want to find out more. So, you know, you discovered running, and then how did you discover the wonderful community of running that exists. Gosh. And I love our community in Montreal, but I can imagine what it's like in New York, like with all the crews and just how big it is, just all the people and stuff like that. So how did yeah. you discover group running, and was it something you like immediately liked, or?
Yeah. So, okay. When I first started running, I think I did the same thing that everybody does in New York. So we have this great like running body in New York called the New York Roadrunners scene, or like they're called New York Roadrunners. And, So they have like all the traditional clubs in New York are registered with the New York Roadrunners, and like you can go on their website and read about every single one of those clubs, right? And so my first club that I was a member of was the New York Harriers, and literally just scrolled through, saw that they were like some of the faster people, and I was like, yeah, I want to be a faster person. I'll be on that team. And then also the fact that they're like, they promote that they're just about just as much about having fun afterwards as the actual workout. So they have structured workouts, and then like everybody goes out for a beer afterwards. And I was like, that sounds like right up my alley, right? Mm-hmm, so yeah. I'm like, okay, I'll join them. I ran with them, I think like 6 or 7 years or so, for a long time. And, you know, like it was really great just because they did have like super structured workouts, but you know, their team isn't huge. Like there are teams in New York where they have like 300 or 400 people on their teams. And, you know, like it's not like they're showing up at every workout, but there's so many workouts that those teams have to provide so that all those different members can have something to use, you know? And with the Harriers, I think there was like 150 people on their team. And so there really was like a Tuesday night workout and a Thursday night workout, and that's it. And so, you know, like one, you get to know everybody, and it just felt like a small team, and you got to like, everybody was friends, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I found though is one, I get like antsy very quickly. And New York Roadrunners, I love them so much because they're so organized, and they provide this great thing in New York where it's like, you know, everybody can go to the New York Roadrunner races. They're well organized. Like they really support the running community a lot. It's like something that's really built up running in New York, and you have to really respect that. Right. Mm-hmm. But I started getting antsy of their races very quickly just because it's literally every weekend, the same race around Central Park, you know, and like, I get bored quickly. I get very bored quickly. So yeah. Not a very patient person. Yeah. And so like I started to get bored of that. And also just like I am very like, I like to talk to everybody, and I like to make friends with everybody. And something that I found, like, so I started pacing with Nike, and I was like pacing and coaching with Nike on the side. And so I'd get to know all these people within the community, and they were all running with a ton of, like, there'd be people from all these different crews coming to the workouts. And, you know, like, so I'd get to know all these different people that weren't Harriers. And I just really loved, like, the energy of new runners, you know? And it was just so infectious. And so I'd be at, like, a New York Roadrunner race in the corral waiting to go. And there'd be all my Harriers that were around me. And then there'd be these people that, you know, I pace with and train with outside of that. And I'd go and talk to them, and like, you know, like I love being friends with everybody, yeah. You know, and there should be no reason why you can't be friends with people in other crews and other clubs. And so then I'd go back to the Harriers, and they'd be like, who are you talking to? Who is that? They're not a Harrier. Don't talk to them. And I'm like, what? Wait a second. We're all friends. What's going yeah. on here? You know? And so I think all of that just got me a little restless. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that was like my journey, the first like 5-7 years of my running career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right away, like I'm also somebody that I always want to help and contribute and be a part of things. And so I was helping them with like their newsletter and like some of their like board stuff. And the president at the time was like, he's stepping down, and he's like, Darcy, I think you should do it. And I'm like, I don't know, the president of the club, I don't know about that. And he's like, I think you should do it. And like after like maybe 3 meetings, I was like, okay, all right. So then I became the president of the club.
Nice.
So
very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
So they had like a bigger role within the club. And
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I like to, you know, I lead a run club here, WRG Runs on Monday nights. I'll plug that. And then I run with, you know, Run Right a lot of the time on Thursday nights, which you'll be coming by tonight. So that would be really fun.
Yeah.
But they're just like super social, and both of them are really social. And I like to drop in different groups too, just to kind of like see what's up. And
totally.
I've made some friendships in other groups. And I mean, why can't we just expand, you know, on that?
Well, and this is like... This can expand to so many different things, but specifically for running, I find that like, you know, each crew has like a different vibe, and maybe like they provide something different. And who's to say that like you can get everything from one club, you know? And like, what's the problem with going to a different club because they have like a social night that you really want to be a part of? Or like, I really like that club's like track workout or whatever, you know? Or like, there's so many things that these different clubs can offer. And so, like, I've just had a problem with only sticking to one. And I really like being a part of all of them because they all offer something different. And, you know, like, we should all just be friends and, you know, it should just be all social. I love that.
Yeah.
So.
And it's very much like the runners in them, right? They all offer something different and they all have different backgrounds and from different places and different goals, which is great. What are your running goals?
Oh gosh. Well, right now it's just to get back to healthiness.
Right.
Is what it is. Because I just got injured. So.
And what's your favorite distance out of Race?
My favorite distance right now, you know, like I think that the half marathon is my happy spot. You know, it's like just far, like I am a longer distance person where like it takes me a little while to warm up. And so, you know, like I can do a 5K or 10K, but like I have to do a pretty good warm up before any of those to really actually hit the paces that I am keen to hit. But the half marathon, I find that like, it's just long enough to really get into a stride of like a fast, fast pace and still enjoy it. As I've said before, I get bored pretty quickly. So like, if you look at my times for a 5K and a 10K and even the half, and then compare that to the marathon, you're like, you should be running a much faster marathon. Mm. But the problem is like the marathon is a head game, you know, like it's definitely a mental race in addition to the physical race. And so like, I've had so many times where I've trained with these people that like should be hitting the paces that I should be hitting. And then I get out there for race day and like, it's just a mental struggle for me. And I think that's the hurdle that I eventually have to get over when I go back to marathons at some point.
It's tough. Yeah. I've been focused on that for a little while now on just the marathons, and you're right. It's a long day, you know, you got to like prepare and like slowly build up to it and have these mental cues and tricks to kind of.
Well, and like I have found for marathons, it's equally as important to train mentally as it is to train physically. One of my good friends, Lauren Perkins, talks about this and that, like, you know, you're going to, no matter what in the marathon, you're going to go through hard times and you have to mentally prepare yourself for that and know that you're going to come out on the other side and it's going to be fine, you know? And so like, she talks about like, when you're struggling, when you're hurting, like to know that it's only temporary and it's not going to last for the entire race. And what I find super important when I'm training for a marathon is that I actually have to do my long runs by myself. I can't do them with other people because like it becomes distractions and I'm not. And then like come game day, like I can definitely hit those paces and I can definitely hit that distance. And then like come day to day, like I can't mentally get there, get past it. And so it's super important for me to do long runs by myself so I can mentally train for them.
Mm,
yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because normally I'm looking for people to come along and suffer with me.
And like, here's the thing, like when you have girlfriends or friends that like, they all run with you and like, it is a ton of fun to do long runs with other people. And it's a great way of catching up with people and like, you know, oh, how did your week go? Whatever. But here's the thing. And I can do that every once in a while, but it's like when I get into like when I'm training for something, I do all my long runs that way. Mm. I swear I get to the marathon and I can't do it. Like mentally, it just like it's too much. I can't run by myself for that long. You know, like I have to prepare for it. I don't know.
it makes sense. Going through your Instagram, I saw some photos of a few bridges and. Because I'm connecting you to take the bridge, I was wondering if that's where the love affair with bridges has come from.
Okay, so I come from Portland, which they call the City of Bridges. I don't know if that, like, I really didn't ever run over the bridges in Portland before I moved over here. But maybe, like, mentally going over the... And here's the funny thing. Do you want to know something? I don't think I've ever told somebody this, but I used to be scared of bridges.
Wow.
Like, I remember when I was younger watching a video of, like, a bridge collapse. And so it used to be that whenever I drove over bridges, I literally would be scared. And I don't know when I got over that hurdle, but at some point I did, and now I fully embrace bridges.
Getting deep with Darcy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just curious about that, and kind of like, when did you think of this idea for?
So here's the thing. I have lived in Brooklyn for most of my journey in New York, right? And specifically when we came up with this race, I lived in Brooklyn Heights at the time, which is super close to, it's like right at the base of the Brooklyn Bridge and then also the Manhattan Bridge. And so I used to do this leap in the morning of going over the Brooklyn and back over the Manhattan, right? And it's just, you know, like that's a really quick 4 mile run in the morning. And the other thing I would do is, so, you know, I'm in interior design and architecture, and that industry is known for super late hours. And so when I was running, or when I first started running, like I worked downtown and I would work late until like 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And then my run would be running home from work almost all that, like almost every night I would do that. Right. And so like, how do you get home from downtown to Brooklyn? You run over the bridge, you know? And so like that just became a part of my running like story, is that like running over bridges all the time. And it was just always, and here's the thing, like, so I was talking about running in the streets, which is so fun. And I love doing that. But the other thing is you can't ever like just stop and appreciate the moment when you're doing that. Right. And so when you're running over bridges, like one, you just have the most amazing view, and you can just stop and just be like, how lucky am I to be in this city right now with this view, and just take notice of where you're at. Right.
Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. And I do that on the mountain. I get to run Mount Royal a lot. It's like right in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
Beautiful park that we all have the pleasure of getting to enjoy, or we're just lucky to have it. But yeah, I'll do that often where, you know, I'll run it year round, but to stop and to appreciate kind of where you are and take a breath. And like, I do that in races as well. You know, you always got to take a moment. I think we just rush through life a lot of times. And I mean, you can see a lot more running, obviously, but it's good to just like, just embrace that and like have
definitely
gratitude.
Just like appreciate where you're at that moment. So it's so funny. The male winner of our Portland race that we had in June. He beat Peter Bromka. If you guys know Peter Bromka, he's like fast. He's super fast. He's probably one of the fastest guys in Portland, right?
Wow.
And so this guy beat Peter, and so obviously very fast. And the end of that race was actually very close, right? So like, anyways, he told me, I was asking him about the race, and he told me that as he's coming over the St. John's Bridge on the way back, he's like, I just had this moment where I stopped and just appreciated the bridge and the view and everywhere I was at. And I was like, and Peter was right behind you, and you didn't stop and think about the map. Like, what? Wait, in the middle of your race, you had that? Like, I was like, so I'm not the only one that does it, but like, even the fast guys do that? That's pretty awesome.
Well, it's nice that he had that.
Yeah, right? I really loved that story.
Yeah, when he's being hunted down by another fast.
Not even thinking about Peter behind him. He's like, oh my God, this view.
Yeah, exactly. That's
I loved
great.
It.
You must have access to so many amazing athletes as well. You probably met some pretty incredible.
I've been so like, it's just that this race has grown so fast and so much. And, you know, like in the past couple of years, being able to bring the race to new cities, I have just met so many good athletes, and like one, just been humbled by the fact of like having the ability to meet all these people and have access to all of them to be able to like pick their brains, but also just like, this community is actually so small, and you never realize it until like you're traveling all over the place and everybody knows one another and everybody's friends. And I've just like so many times this past year, especially, I've had to stop and been like almost like a pinch myself moment of how thankful am I to be able to have this opportunity, you know,
And connect, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. The connections are totally. always the best.
Yeah.
So what is this race really all about? Take the bridge. I mean, I've heard about it a lot over the last couple of years. I've been running for about 9 years. I've been running in within community for about 4 or 5 years. So through that, you know, I just hear stuff. I was in Boston. I ran around the Boston Marathon, and they did one in Boston, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of understand a little bit about what it is, but for somebody who has no idea, what's your best... Your best.
Can I tell the backstory of the race too?
Yeah, that's I'd love to hear it. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So really like this race came out of necessity, in that when I was the president of the Harriers, they had this little 5K over on Riverside Park. And although running was booming and like growing in the city, we were having less and less people show up to our 5K race. And at the same time, so there's other people that do unsanctioned races in New York, and the Red Hook Crit, which is like a bike criterium in Red Hook, Brooklyn. This was the first year that they opened up that course to runners, and they did like a 5K beforehand. And although it's like a sanctioned race, it feels unsanctioned and like you're doing laps, and it'll be a race where like anybody that races it knows that like you'll never have that same feeling in any other race. It has so much hype and like so much energy at that race. And so that was like, oh my God, like I ran that race and I was like, oh my God, this is so different than like the races I have been doing. This is really interesting. And then the same people that did that, did the Midnight Half, a couple months later. And the Midnight Half is basically a race that, you know, you're given a start and a finish and a whole bunch of checkpoints. And if you do like the shortest tangent of all those checkpoints, it's around a half marathon. And so it was the first year that they were doing that too. And literally I found out about that race maybe a couple days before I signed up. And then like maybe an hour before I'm like trying to plot out how I'm going to run this course. And literally at the time I was married and the course ran through like my neighborhood. And so like I had my husband at the time wait for me on the corner with some water, which was like around the halfway point. Mm-hmm. And so I did that race. And same thing. Like I was just like, these races are so different because they're making you constantly think on your feet of like, there is no set course. And so like, because there's only checkpoints and however you get to those checkpoints is up to you. Like you may plot out one course and then somebody else might plot out a different course. And you're like, well, is my way faster? Or is that person's way faster? And like,
and who's faster?
Yeah. And you're dipping in and out of seeing different people. And you're just like, it's so exhilarating. And it's also making it so that you're constantly thinking on your feet. And it's just a completely different way of approaching running. Right. And so I walked away from both of those experiences and I was like almost like an aha moment of like, wow, there's so much out here that I didn't realize was a possibility for racing. Right. So I took those two opportunities or those two like races and like what I took away from that. And I was like, you know, here's the thing. That 5K race, it's actually battling against New York Roadrunner races. And that's probably why nobody's coming, because everybody would rather go to a super well-organized New York Roadrunner race than like a small inky-dinky race in the park, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but what if we offered them something that's so completely different than a New York Roadrunner race, right? And like something that totally speaks its own language. And Joe DeNoto, who does the Midnight Half, along with Trimble, at the time I was running with OSR a lot, which is the people that put the whole thing on. Sorry, these are like a whole bunch of names that hopefully everybody knows these. If not, I'm sorry. But so Orchard Street Runner and Trimble, who does, Trimble does the Midnight or the Crit, and Orchard Street Runners does the Midnight Half. That's, they partner together for the Midnight Half.
So these are all groups and yeah, those are their
yeah,
races.
Yeah. And so Orchard Street Runners also has like a Tuesday night run where literally you're chasing people around the city and it's crazy. So I was running with them on Tuesdays in addition to the Harriers. And I go to Joe and I was like, listen, I've got this idea.
Joe's the leader, I guess.
Yeah. And I was like, I've got this idea, but I don't want to like trump your race. And I want it to like live on its own. So like, how can we do this? And like almost every week I'd meet with him and we'd have like, okay, here's the newest idea. Or here's like how it's evolving. And like, really he was like a mentor to me for the first like race and like really figuring out how to do it. Right. But So this was literally just like an alternative to that for the New York Harriers as a race, right? And so what I decided to do was that we would have three races, right? During the summer months, you know, August, September, or July, August, September, and every month we'd choose a different bridge. And my hope was that the first race, nobody's going to show up. I'm going to have to like beg people to show up. But hopefully by the third race, everybody knows about it and everybody's like hyped and they all want to come. Right. That was like what I was betting on.
The dream.
Yeah. and so that's how it started. And that was 4 years ago, 2015, that happened.
Right.
And it literally was, so the race was under the Harrier name for that entire year. Mm-hmm. And I was pacing with Nike at the time. And so the first race literally was just me begging everybody to come out. Will you please come out? Please come out. There's this little race that I'm throwing. Please come out. Please come out. Please come out. And people now like it sells out in seconds, but like you could actually still sign up for the race the night of the race. Like you could just show up and be like, I want to do the race. And like what we did is everybody puts money into the hat. Half the money goes to the Harriers and it was supposed to like, you know, help us get money for the club. And then the other half went to everybody's beers afterwards.
Oh, nice.
Right. And the very first bridge that we did was the Queensboro Bridge. And we had a cheer squad of two.
Beautiful. Two loud cheers.
I don't know about that. It was two of the guys from Resident Runners, which is like another crew in New York. And they literally just showed up and there was one on either side. Ray on one side and then Eric on another side. Both of them cheering. That was our cheer squad.
Nice.
And so that's how the race started. And like what I will say is that I predicted well that throughout the, like, each month we had a little bit more people sign up and a little bit more people sign up, right? And so, like, the last race, so we did the Queensboro first, and then we did the Williamsburg second, and then we did the Manhattan race, mm-hmm. the Manhattan Bridge last, right? And so when we first started the race, because I was partnering with the Harriers and they were a little worried about, like, you know, like, it's very risky to be running through the streets when there's money on the line or, you know, like, anything that's on the line of, you know, wanting to get first. And so they were, like, a little hesitant. They're like, we can't have people running through the streets. And so I was like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do an out and back on the bridge. That's it. We're not even going onto the streets, just an out back on the bridge. Right. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, that sounds safe enough to me.
They're convinced.
Right. And so that was the first year. The second year I was no longer the president of the Harriers. And I said to them, I said, I really still want to do these races. Do you guys mind if I take it and no longer has the Harrier name on it? And they're like, yeah, cool, whatever. It's cool with us. Right. And so the second year is when we started having host crews. So now what we do is that for every single race, we partner with a different crew and have them, like, almost they can put their own spin on the race. And sometimes, like, it means different things for different crews. And sometimes crews are like, you know, we just want to show up and be at the finish line and, like, create a really great buzz at the finish line, you know? And then, okay, like, more recently we've had people be like, oh, well, we want to do, like, a shoe drive as part of the race. Right. And so everybody does, like, their own thing. But so that started the second year. And then because of, like, maybe not having anybody telling me, oh, that's not safe, that's not safe, slowly we've started incorporating the streets a little bit more and a little bit more. And so what happens is that we give you a start and a finish line, right? And you show up and we tell you the bridge, right? But you don't know what's going on, where you're starting, where you're finishing, any of that. And so you show up and an hour before the race, we give you the start, the finish, and a checkpoint. And there's always one checkpoint. Sometimes there's two or three checkpoints. Right. But same kind of idea is that you start, however you get to the first checkpoint and the second checkpoint are completely up to you. You have to do them in order, but, like, however you get to those checkpoints are completely up to you. And then you have to get back to the finish, obviously. Right. Mm. And so how we make it, or how we, like, set it up, is obviously you're going over at least one bridge when you're doing that. Right. But the fun part, like, so the bridges are always nice because it's, like, where you can kind of, like, appreciate the moment. The really fun part is when you're running through the streets. And so what we have been doing recently is kind of starting underneath the bridge along the waterfront. And so you have to work your way up to the bridge, and however you work your way up is completely up to you. And then we have the checkpoint on the other side of the waterfront, right? And then what we also have is, this is like a cyclist term, but a preem prize. And so the first checkpoint, whoever gets there first, gets additional cash prize.
Wow, money. Okay. Yeah.
And what that does is it makes it so that people take out the race fast and they're not, like, starting too slow, right? Just adds, like, another element of, like, fun, because a lot of times there's always, like, one or two people where they're like, all I wanted was the preem and that's it. So they, like, take it out super fast and then they slow it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if they get that prize and they don't finish.
No, they have to finish.
And they don't finish in, like, the top, whatever, the top prize money, like, top three, let's say.
Yeah.
Then do they get that?
Yeah.
Okay, as long as they finish.
The rule is, if you get the preem, you have to finish.
Okay.
To get the preem. Yeah. If not, then you're not getting the preem cash. So, yeah. But that's the only rule for that. Cool. But yeah. And more often than not, if you get the preem and that's literally all that you were trying to get is the preem, if that really was that person's main objective, then, like, normally they finish in, like, fifth place or sixth place or something like that. So
okay,
yeah.
So maybe the strategy is to follow the fast guy out of the gate to the preem.
Yeah,
but you don't know who's got the right course. Yeah, it's pretty cool, that whole thing. Yeah,
yeah. So very nice. I don't know. Did I do a very good job of explaining that? I feel like that was a whole roundabout because I gave you the history.
Yeah,
and then I kind of gave you the background of how it's structured.
No, it's great. Yeah. So it started, like, an out and back, and now there's checkpoints involved. Yes. Like, kind of like the races that you were inspired by.
Yeah, totally. And what I will say, so we just did a race on Friday in Manhattan or in Brooklyn. And, like, it was probably one of our most exciting races because what we did, so if you don't know this, the Brooklyn and the Manhattan Bridge are super close. Like, they touch down very close to one another in Brooklyn and then also in Manhattan as well. And so we started at the base of the Brooklyn Bridge, but where we placed the checkpoint in Manhattan, it was equal distance if you took the Brooklyn Bridge or the Manhattan Bridge. And then where you finished, it was, again, equal distance from that checkpoint to the finish if you took the Brooklyn or the Manhattan Bridge. So it was like, choose your bridge, right? And so, like, literally at the start, half the people go one way, half the people go another way. And we had, like, first place and second place took two completely different bridges. And so, like, neither of them knew, like, am I still in first? I like, literally you didn't know until you touched down on the other side, which is so great.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So now you're doing this not only in New York, but other cities as well.
All over, yeah.
Which brings you kind of to Montreal, right?
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, somebody asked us to do one in Boston. And so that was our first city that we did outside of New York. You know what? That's a lie. I'm from Portland. And so the very first year that we did these races, I did one in Portland when I was home for the, for like the Christmas, you know, end of year season. And that one, you can technically say was the first race that we did outside of New York. But to be honest, it was literally just a friends and family run around the bridges in Portland. So that was technically the first one. But really, so the real like official first one was in Boston. And then slowly people like, once they were like, oh, you do them in other cities? Well, what about Chicago? I bet you we could do one in Chicago. And I'm like, well, the bridges are smaller. That just means more streets, I guess, right? But it always still incorporates bridges in the new cities. But, like, sometimes there's just more streets than there are bridges, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so we've gone back to Portland a couple of times now. This year, we also went to Austin. And then we just started, like, a partnership this year with Lululemon. And it's funny. So we did a Toronto race with Lululemon at the end of last year. And after the race, me and Mike, who is like my main contact at Lulu, and he's been this person that like maybe 2 years ago I told him about Take the Bridge. And ever since the beginning of me telling him about it, he's just been like, this is such an amazing concept. And like totally on board with everything that we have and like the vision that we have. And so he was the one that brought me on for the Toronto race just because he's like the founder of Parkdale Roadrunners, which is the Toronto crew that we partnered with.
Right.
And after that race, he was like, Darcy, I've got an idea. And I was like, what's the idea? And he's like, listen, we've got to bring this to as many cities as possible. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, what if we did like almost like a road trip? And like, we went to all these different cities that you've been wanting to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, are you serious? Really? And he's like, yeah, let's do it. And so it took a little bit of like him going back to people at Lulu and like really educating them and getting them on board. And then like, I think right away it was just like, yes.
It's a fit.
Yeah.
And they're on board with like all kinds of cool stuff.
They
like
are, right?
Yeah.
And you know what I really love about them is that like, they're like, I really love the idea that like, it's not just about running, but it's about like the reason why behind running. And, you know, when people walk away from our races, I think they just walk away with like a renewed sense of what running is and what's possible. But, you know, like it's a completely different experience running our race. And I think like that, so that partnership really goes side and side, and that like being very present within our race is something that like is inevitable. And I think that's something that's kind of part of Lululemon is that you're like, you're mentally present in things and you're constantly like checking back in with yourself. Right. And so, what I'll say about our races is what I've heard or like me being a part of other unsanctioned races in New York and taking that experience and trying to apply it to our races is that, you know, when I run an unsanctioned race and our race, there's no mile markers. Right. And also the distance, like we do really funny distances and like that distance can change depending on what course you do. So like, it's not like, oh, this is a 5K, this is a 10K, whatever. It's like, this is 4.2 miles. This is 3.5 miles or, and I don't know what that is in kilometers.
It's okay.
But so instead you're not sitting there thinking to yourself, okay, well, this is a mile marker. And at the mile marker, I need to be hitting this pace, at, you know, just so I can hit my 5K pace or whatever. You know, like you're not, like that element is completely taken out. And instead what ends up happening is like you're running with a whole bunch of people that are local. So we keep our race at 40 men, 40 women, and each group races separately, right? And so what ends up happening is that you're racing with people that are within the same running community that you're in. And you might probably know them or more often than you do because like you've seen them at other races and like you guys like are normally right around the same pace, right? And so during the race, you get into this thing of like, well, I know that person and and I train with them, or I know them and I normally race alongside them, so I should be keeping up with them, right? And so it's almost like a chasing game at some point. And I never wear my watch during these kind of races because it almost is like a distraction to me, right? And like, one, I don't even need to know what my pace is right now because it's not relevant. But two, like, I also don't need to know what my distance is because that's not relevant either. You know, and like all that is just going to distract me from like the race that I'm in right now.
Right.
Right. And so what happens is that you are like literally chasing the person ahead of you, but also you're thinking constantly like, do I take this way? Do I take that way? Do I like, should I follow him or should I go the course that I thought, you know? And then you're so in the element and you're so like present in the moment. And then you finish and you look down at your time and you're like, oh my God, I just ran a lot faster than I probably would have yeah. in any other race that I normally do for this distance.
Yeah, it's a big chase kind of thing.
No, it is. And it gets you out of your element. And somebody told, like, somebody that ran our race on Friday was talking about the fact that, like, you can actually kind of put limits on yourself when you sit to yourself and you say, okay, so my 5K pace is this, so this is the time that I need to be hitting. And when you don't have that element any longer, it's almost like you're taking these paces that you set upon yourself and you're releasing them. And so like anything is possible. Right. And so maybe you've been hitting these times, but you don't realize that you can actually run faster than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you kind of let go of all of that and you just run according to feel, according to, like we say, pace on gut. Right. And so like, you're literally like pacing off the person ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
But when you let go of all these elements of like how you normally measure a race and instead you're fully present in the race at the moment, like you get something completely different out of the race,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that's where I come back to like the whole thing with Lululemon, and that like, you know, there, I think many people think of Lululemon as like yoga, right? But also yoga is actually very like present and like meditative and like all these things. And like, how can you apply that to running? And like, this just seems like, right in line with that.
Yeah.
Right?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And you hear that too, like, it's sometimes really good, like you say, throw away the watch.
Yeah.
And, like, just go on feel. Because, like, I mean, I sat down with a national Canadian record holder for the marathon, Rachel Cliff, recently. She runs with a Timex. Like, just for timeout running. But there's no pace on that thing. Like, it's just, like, literally, and we're talking about, like, the fastest woman in Canada right now. And I thought that was super, like, really interesting to hear it from her because, like, you know, here you have somebody at such an elite level, but oftentimes we can learn so much from them too. And that's like that feeling that you get, that your foot on the ground, your breath, all mm-hmm. these things, like to relax, you know,
yeah.
to just like be in the moment, like you're saying. I think that's really like key to yeah. running for sure.
Yeah.
And so much focus is often put on pace and it shouldn't be, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So Lululemon.
So what they've done is like now this year, like we've done three races so far with them. We've got four more races coming up this year. And that's like, these are the races that are outside of New York. We're still doing the races in New York just because New York is our home turf. And like, we got to make sure that we're supporting where we came from. So we're still doing New York. And so all of that, we normally have done like three races in New York and then maybe one or two races in other cities. And this year we're doing a total of 12 races altogether. So we went from doing five races in 1 year to to 12 races
That's
in
crazy.
1 year, which is crazy. But what I have gained from that, one, it almost feels like my 1,000 hours of like every time I turn around, I'm planning another race. And many times I'm planning like 2 to 3 races at a time, right? And so like I'm constantly learning and applying that to the next race. I'm also getting super comfortable in these races and knowing what's the correct way and what's not the correct way or correct decisions or whatever, you know, and like really just becoming very comfortable in my own skin with these races. And at the same time, I'm like, I just find myself so lucky that I'm getting, you know, like I'm going to all these different cities and meeting all these different crews, all these different people that are running and like seeing the connection of like running in one city versus running in another city. And it's just like, everybody is doing this and everybody does it like in their own way. But like that community, it's like the central thing. And, you know, like I'll talk to people here and they're like, oh, you know, this person, I know that person too. And it's like, it's such a small community, even though it's such a large community,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And it might be because of like Instagram and the fact that like everybody knows one another through Instagram. I don't know, but like I'll say that I think a lot of people, like, they'll come to New York and they'll be like, oh, I know this person through Instagram and I just want to go and run with them with that crew or whatever, you know? And like, it's interesting that you can now like travel to all these different cities and you can travel not for a race, but instead just to go and run with the crew. Right.
Yeah.
And like hang with them and like do their thing for a week. And it almost gives you like an insider view of the city. That's different than like if you just came to visit a city.
Yeah. You're a runner, yeah. Right? So you're just yeah. accepted everywhere. It's, yeah. It's kind of the thing. So what do you have in store for Montreal? What oh, can we gosh. Look forward to? Like, when is this race? What can you share with us?
Yeah. You know, so we're doing the race for Marathon Weekend, on Friday, the 20th, September 20th. Yeah. You know, I come to a city and I may think, okay, here are the bridges that I want to go and look at and scout out. And like, this is what I want to do for the race. But what quickly happens, and I can't even pinpoint how I know this, but like, I'll go to a city and I'll look at different bridges and I'll be like, nope, 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 nope. And then like, I go to a neighborhood and I'm like, this is the neighborhood. This is it right here. Right. And I don't know how, like, it literally is just an intuition thing. Right. And so I'll say that more often than not, like I was talking to a friend the other night and he was like, how is your scouting going? And I was like, horrible. It went horrible tonight. And he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, but you know what? That's almost every single time the first night is bad. And it's because I sit here and think, okay, well, I look at a Google map and I'm like, that bridge, that bridge, that bridge. Those are the three bridges I need to go and look at. Right. And then I go and almost every time I'm like, nope, that's not it. And like, it takes me having a night of bad moments within bridges. And like to say that I have a bad moment within a bridge is like kind of funny, but like just getting there and maybe it's not even a bad moment on the bridge, but it's this thing of like, oh, what I anticipated isn't correct. And I have to shift my game and my perspective of how things are going to be. And then the second night is almost always like going to the places where I didn't initially think we should go. But they're like maybe off the beaten path a little bit. They're maybe not that main bridge. Maybe they're like a secondary bridge or a smaller bridge, or it's in a neighborhood that's like, it doesn't have as much traffic in it, but it feels really raw and it feels like very gritty. And it reminds me of New York a little bit or something. Right. And I'm like, oh, this is it. This is it. This is it. And so almost always the second night is like, yes, it's like, oh my goodness. Yes. This is it. This is what we're going to do. So it goes from like one night of being like, oh, I don't know. And then like the second night being like, yes, yes. So that to say, we're not doing like the major bridges, I guess I could say.
Okay.
Right. Cool. And I think the reason why is just like, I want people to be able to fully experience their race and not to like, is, you know, I want as much as I want to be a part of like the hub and all the energy that's in a city, like there's something about getting away from all of that and like kind of having the streets to yourself a little bit. Right. And so like I was on some of these major bridges and as great as they are, one, there's a ton of construction going on.
That's Montreal in this, general.
Yeah. And it's like a huge, like, what the fuck is this? Oh my God, you know,
there's pylons everywhere.
Right. And so that, and then like, there's a lot of bicyclists and I love, like, I cycle everywhere. I bike everywhere. I can't say anything bad about them, but you know what? They get in our way of the runners. And I'm sorry, but like, I don't want our runners to get hit by cyclists. So right. I'm just like, you know, I got to take this somewhere else. So we found a good little niche spot, off the beaten path that we're going to go to. I'm super excited about it. You know, I always lean into locals too, to help me kind of find that spot too. I normally like come back the first night and I'm just like, I totally didn't anticipate this. And they're like, let me show you the spot. Let me show you. So we dialed that in last night. We got two solid options. So, I think we're looking at about a 5K in distance, depending on the route that we choose, maybe a little over, a little under. And it's definitely going to be like a couple of checkpoints and you're going to have to do them in order. What I anticipate, I don't know. You know, like hopefully this shakes things up a little bit within the community here. I know you guys already have like a few unsanctioned races here in the city, which kind of like I'm excited about. Like, yeah. So I'm going to Bridge Montreal on
this weekend.
Yeah. This weekend. I was going to race it, but the rule is, cause I'm injured right now, the rule in New York is if you're not racing, you're volunteering. And if you're not volunteering, you're cheering. So I reached out to the girls at East Lawyer and I was like, listen, I'm not racing. I want to volunteer. So I'm volunteering for the court or for the race.
Leading by example. I like that.
Yeah. And then I'll probably, as soon as I get done volunteering, I'll go straight to the finish line and see if I can cheer too. So we'll see. How it goes. But that at least like gives me some renowned hope that like people will know what they're doing or they'll know the gist of it, right?
For your race.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. So you
need people to cheer. You need volunteers.
Everybody needs
to sign up.
So here's the thing. Let me just tell you right now. Let me give you the lowdown. As much as this race is about racing, right? What it's really about is about community, right? And one thing I do when I come here the month beforehand is really get to know the running community as much as I can, right? And so I'll come and I'll meet with every single run leader that I can meet with. I want to go to all the workouts that I can go to so I can like start meeting people, you know, and it's super important to me that like one, everybody feels invited. All of the crews feel like I've touched base with them, that I've talked to them, that like I personally have invited them, that they know like the whole gist of our race and also like the reasoning, like the why behind our race, right? And so I want to make sure everybody's invited. And I say that like our race is successful if everybody has shown up. And that does not mean just in racing. It also means in volunteering and cheering, right? And so what we found is that like, so our races sell out very quickly. So if you want to do our race, what I would say to you is like literally if it's going to open up at noon, be online at noon. If you're not, I can't guarantee that you're going to get a spot.
And where do people get that information?
And so it's... So we have an Eventbrite. I think it's like takethebridge.eventbrite.com or whatever. I should know that, but I don't. But if you look at our profile on Eventbrite, you'll have like all the races that we're doing, right? And so there'll be a website. It's takethebridgemtl.eventbrite.com is the actual registration page, right? And so you go on that, and at noon on Monday the 9th is when it'll open up, right? So Monday, September 9th, at noon. Make sure you're on that Eventbrite page. And there'll be a link to it on our Instagram as well. So our Instagram is @TakeTheBridge. So there'll be a link there too if you forget that website or anything. But here's the thing. If you don't get in, one, we have a wait list. And great. Email me. We'll put you on the wait list. Great. But here's what I tell people when they sign up for the wait list. If you don't get off the wait list, I still want you there. And here's the reason why. If you're not racing, you're volunteering. If you're not volunteering, you're cheering. And everybody needs to show up. Every single person in this community needs to show up, because here's the thing, this is about celebrating and supporting everybody in the community. So if you're not racing, you're supporting everybody that is, right? And many times I'll say that our finish line vibes are very high, and hopefully we get Matthew Lugmeyer to come out and hold down our finish line and really create that energy.
So can you explain who that is?
Matthew Lugmeyer is from New York. So we have a podcast and he like helps me out with that podcast, and he just helps me make sure that we're connecting with our community. And so like whenever I go to a new city, he'll let me know if there's anybody that I need to be talking to. And also like directly in New York, he just knows everybody in New York. And so he's always like the community person.
And a pretty fast guy too.
He's very fast. He's a very fast guy. Yeah. And so he'll come to our finish line and he is all about the vibes, and he can just bring the vibes to any place that he goes to. He's a very electric person. So no matter what, the finish line is going to be like crazy and you want to be there. And so if you're not racing, you're volunteering. If you're not volunteering, you're cheering. If you volunteer, you're going to get some really good Lululemon swag.
Ooh,
I'll tell you that.
A little bonus.
One of our friends, Brandon, in Austin once said, he's like, you know, the volunteers get better swag than the racers do. And I'm like, I don't know. What does that say to you?
It's a little carrot.
Right? Yeah. So you'll definitely get some swag if you volunteer. But if you don't do either of those, if you don't volunteer a race, I want you cheering. And here's the other thing that I say to people is that the moment you finish racing, I want you to double back and to be cheering everybody else on. Right? And something I learned from Charlie Dark in London, is that everybody needs to have the same experience as they're coming through that finish line, because every single person has put in the same amount of work. Every single person has done that same distance, and everybody needs to be celebrated, right? And so as everybody's coming through the finish line, I want everybody to have that same experience, which is why we're saying, once you finish, I want you to come back and cheer on the next person or everybody else that's coming in.
Yeah, it's a good rule to have for sure. I try and implement that, like, even at track workouts or whatever, you know, you always go back and, like, clap for other people and encourage others because, you know, everybody starts somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, totally. I started somewhere too and I'm still working at it, you know, but I'm chasing the next person. And
what I will say, the last person in almost always gets the most cheers. We always save a confetti cannon for the last person. And then, so I bike, we have a few different bike marshals along the course. And so I bike in the front. But Ashley, who will be coming, Ashley, she is the dead last person. And I swear she like makes it a party. And so it's almost like, I don't know, are they having more fun than the rest of us? I don't know. But she sure does make it sound like they are having a ton of fun in the back.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then there's like party after.
Yeah, we have a party afterwards. We always have like what we call the after party. And, you know, we'll have like a DJ there. We'll have drinks and food. And that's like another thing of like just continuing to build the community and that and support the community is that everybody after the race comes together and they're celebrating and they're cheering and they're having a good time. And many times people walk away and they're like, I got to know all these different people and all these different clubs and crews. And like, I had no idea that like such great people are outside of my own crew. It almost helps you to realize that like, yeah, we all should be friends. Right.
Right.
So,
I mean, we all have that one thing in common.
Yeah.
And, like, I think the food and drinks is something afterwards that just
totally
glues that all together. Yeah. We all love it. We all like, I run cause I look forward to like the post beer, the post, the post burger or whatever,
whatever it is.
Yeah.
Totally.
Awesome. I know you also did, again, stalking your Instagram, you did, well, is there anything else that, that comes to mind that you wanted to bring up?
So Yama Joe is our local crew that's going to be hosting this time around. So we have a podcast now. And so what happens is like the week of the race, we'll release our podcast with Yama Joe. And so what that does is what, like my hope through the podcast is that like people, not only in the city that we're having the race in, but like people in New York and people in Austin and Boston, I hope everybody's listening just because what that does is it gives a platform to the host crew and, you know, we can tell their full story. And so everybody can know that, like, you know what, if I'm over in Montreal, this is the crew I need to go and run with. Right. And so we'll have a podcast where we talk with Yama Joe and really get to know exactly what their story is and all about them. And then during the after party, after the race, we'll do like interviews of the runners right afterwards. So they're still like on that runner's high. Can't believe what just happened out there. And we'll get like their full rundown of like how their race went. And you'll see like all the inside information that like maybe if you weren't out on the course, you're like, oh, I had no idea that happened. That's so fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So that's like another part.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. And yeah. I plan on running it. So.
Oh my gosh. Watch out. Yes. Have you ever done an unsanctioned race before?
I did. So our friend, Gofret, he's also a photographer in Montreal.
He's going to photograph for us.
He's very good.
Yeah. I've heard so many good things about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did the Runaround 125 this year, which is a run around the island of Montreal, 125 kilometers.
Yeah. I heard all about this race.
Yeah. It was really, really fun and cool. And, it's a relay race. It gave us a chance to kind of like, again, connect and that, you know, that camaraderie between teams, different teams and stuff was really, really great. It was the second year we did it because we tested out the course last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year we had other, like six other teams join us. So that was really neat. And then he also organized another race that was called Peel the Hill.
Yes, I've heard about that too.
Yeah, really.
The graphics
crazy.
For that were spot on. Yeah. I liked it.
So that's, you know, starts at Peel Basin, kind of in the old port of Montreal. And then we ran right up Peel Street through traffic lights or whatever. And then once you get to Mount Royal, cause it hits Mount Royal at the top. So it's like this steep hill going up to this set of stairs. And then once you get there, you could choose any route you want to get to the cross on the top of Mount Royal. So that was the interesting part because, I took the stairs. I was first one of the group and I got there and I knew there was some trail runners behind me, but I had taken the stairs up all the way to the chalet, which is like the main lookout there. and some other guys had popped into the woods. So as I was running to the cross, I saw guys popping out, and I was like, "Oh man, like I better follow these guys back down because that's going to be my strategy." So,
oh my goodness. So in Portland, we had these really crazy stairs as part of the course, or like a shortcut. Yeah. And this girl Carissa, who was the winner in Portland and like extremely fast, taught us like how to go up stairs if you're a trail runner, and that like you push off, like, so as you're going up, you push off your leg or whatever. I don't know, like, have you heard about this?
I hope you would push off your leg, but
I mean like you literally like put your hand on your knee and you push off.
Okay, that makes sense.
Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't heard about that.
Okay, I would say everybody needs to look this up. I don't know what it's called, but it's like, it's a trail runner's version of going up the stairs, and it's the most effective way to go upstairs the fastest. And you don't think, you're actually not like running up the stairs, you're walking up the stairs, but you're pushing off your knee as you do it.
Just above the knee, I guess?
Yeah, okay. And it's supposed to like give you more of a drive, so you go up the stairs faster.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
I'll try that.
Yeah.
Thank you
for that.
Well,
she did it, and she won. And she like, she was actually in second place when she got to the stairs, and she passed the person on the stairs.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Very cool.
There you go.
So you had to incorporate some stairs in your course?
There might be.
Oh, okay.
There might be.
Don't give too much away now.
There's always shortcuts, and there's always like, almost like you choose what you want to do. And sometimes that's either stairs or not stairs. It's up to you.
Amazing. So, what's been your like greatest accomplishment as a runner or just within the community?
So we were talking about this earlier, and there is just this moment in my running history or journey that like I look back on, and it literally changed my life. Like it just, I walked away from it a completely different person. And so that's the Speed Project. And, you know, like I was part of this team with Strava where it was a whole bunch of really fast runners. And that's where I met Peter Bromka. Okay. He's really fast. And so, but I was on this team of really fast people, and I was the second to last person to be put on the team. And I was replacing somebody, and I wasn't the fastest person. And I'm like, I don't know if I belong on this team, to be honest. But here's the thing is like when you have six people for the Speed Project. So the Speed Project starts at the Santa Monica Pier sign, or the Santa Monica sign at the pier. And then you go all the way to the Las Vegas sign in Vegas. Right. And so that's a little over 340 miles, and you divide that by six, that's upwards of 50 to 60 miles per person, and you're finishing that in about 40 hours, right? And so I'm not like an ultra runner by any means. You know, like the marathon is it, and like I told you, I have my struggles with the marathon. So, you know, when I was asked to get on this, I was like, one, like I have this mentality of saying yes if I can, like no matter what, like things that scare me, I try to say yes to them. Right. And so I was like, well, I got to do it. But it scared the shit out of me, you know? And it's like, I have no idea, like 60 miles in 40 hours. I don't know if I can do that. You know, like that just seems. And like what I can only compare that to is when I signed up for my very first marathon. And I'm like, the longest I've ever run is 10 miles. I have no idea how I'm going to do this. I have no idea. And you just have to have strength in you have to have faith in your training program and like just hope that, you know, have faith in yourself. Right. And so, you know, I followed, so Blue, who is part of, what do you call that? He's got the lab in California, and so in LA. And so he gives you like this training program, right? Alongside the Speed Project. I'll say that I didn't follow it 100%, but like I tried to. And
as
like,
best you could.
Yeah. And like what I got, like my gist from it was like doing like a lot of like, so I do a long run on one day, and then the following day I'd like do three small runs in one day, right? And so like, it's almost like the idea of training for an ultra, but like also breaking it down and doing like three runs in one day is kind of crazy. And you learn how to like fuel in between all those runs. And I basically would run, come home and eat something and take a nap and then run again and then come and eat something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so like through all that training, it just makes you a super strong runner. But here's the thing is that, so one, it was like Strava did these videos of us, and there's this one part of the video where I'm like, I am scared. I don't know how I'm going to do this, right? And what ends up happening is when you're part of a team and you're always stronger as together. You know, like I have this little tattoo on my arm that I got this year, and it says stronger, faster, further, together, right? And so you're always stronger as a team. But it was just this experience of you're running out in the middle of nowhere. You're all by yourself. Many times you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get out there. I don't know how I'm going to put one foot in front of the other, especially the second day. You're like, I have nothing left. I have nothing left. That's it. I'm done. And and it's this experience of saying, I have nothing left, but you know what? I'm going to put one foot in front of the other and see what comes out the other side. Right?
Yeah.
And doing that and then realizing that you're, again, stronger than you realize you are is so empowering, right? There was this moment where, so one, that's my biggest takeaway from that. The other thing is that like there's these crazy trail runs in the evening for the Speed Project where it's pitch black. You can't see anything. You're going out on these trails. It's completely unsupported. You have like this little app, Find My Friend, on your phone that you bring your phone with you just in case, because like nobody else is going to be able to figure out where you're at. But then also you go in and out of service. So sometimes that's not even reliable and you can't even use it. And they give you like a cut sheet and it says, okay, you're running. And when your watch says 1.3 miles, you're going to veer to the right. There's no signs. You're just going to veer to the right at 1.3 miles. And then at 2.6, you're going to take a left. And so you're out in the middle of nowhere. You have no idea where you're at. Nobody's around for miles. And you're literally just going out this cut sheet. And then like one of the cut sheets I had is like, okay, so you're going down this closed road and just keep going when it says it's closed. It's all right. And then you're going to get to this bridge. The bridge is out. Don't go over the bridge because you can't go over the bridge. You have to climb underneath the bridge and then climb back up. What? What? Wait a second. I'm like, crazy,
yeah, it's
right?
Nuts. It's nuts.
And so you go out there and you're just like scared. And you're like, I just hope I come back on the other side,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's this idea that like you come back and everybody's there waiting for you. You feel like a badass because you just went through all of this and you survived it. And so it's that whole race is just all these many moments of like overcoming things that you didn't think were possible, that you didn't think you were capable of, and feeling like a complete badass when you get done with the race, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like something where when you first started, you're like, I have no idea how I'm going to do that. And you come out the other side and you're like, wow, I did that. So
literally like one step at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, just keep chipping away.
Totally. You know what? And like we had this mentality the second day. So you're going through Death Valley. The sun's beating down on you. It's like you've already got like 30 miles in your legs and you're going through Death Valley. And it's just this ongoing slight uphill. And you're like, I can't do anymore. I can't do anymore. And so they had this, we had this mentality specifically when I was on the Strava team that you go out there. You race, you run whatever you can do. It doesn't matter what the pace is. You go out there and you just put it out there, whatever you can put out. And we're going to say, let's try to go 2 miles. But you know what? Like every mile, we're just going to check in with you. And if you want to keep going, you keep going. If you want to stop, you can stop. And whatever you can lay down is what you can lay down. No judgments. No, like nobody's judging you, not yourself, not anybody on the team. And we're just thankful that you've gotten us another mile ahead.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so like, that's like such a great way of thinking of it that like you, the best you can do is the best that you can do. Whatever you can do, you got to lay it out there.
Amazing.
Right?
Yeah. It's so great. I love that.
Yeah.
What does running mean to you?
gosh, you know, I've struggled like with like, not only depression, but I would say almost more like anxiety, you know, and running has just been something where it brings me calm and it brings me like a moment to myself and a moment to just really like take a breath, you know? And so what I have found is that when I'm injured and I can't run, it's one super important just to like do something to elevate my heart level during the day, which is like recently biking, right? But also it's super important for me to do like some meditation in the morning, do some yoga, something that's going to like calm me down a little bit, because if I don't have running to do that, I have to find like another outlet. But what I will say is that it's never like exactly the same, you know? And like running is just something that just brings me joy, you know? And like, it's this moment of like one, accomplishing things that you didn't think were possible. I really enjoy being outside. There's just something about being outside that just makes me like, it connects you back with earth and like, it's grounding. It's something about, and like, I'm actually really not a trail runner. I really don't, but there's something about just being outside that I really love. And again, it's just this moment of me having a moment to myself and being able to like calm myself down and breathe.
Mm. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What's the moment I should look for when I run the marathon in New York?
Well, I already told you about the Queensboro Bridge. Do you want me to retell you about that? Yeah?
Yeah.
Or I can let everybody else know about that. So I found that my favorite moment in the race was Queensboro Bridge. And obviously because I love bridges, you know, like I love that race at that moment, right? Mm-hmm. But here's what happens is that on the Queensboro Bridge, no spectators are allowed, right? And it's also at the mile, at mile 15, right? And it's this moment where you can really break down, it can really break people down because it's like the major hill in the marathon, right? But what I approached that bridge at was, okay, I'm going to take this incline at whatever pace I want to take it at. It's not important. It's a fragment of the entire race, right? But also just being completely present in the moment at that time. And it's this one moment where nobody else is around. You're just, it's just the runners, right? And one, you can look around and the Queensboro offers really great views, right? But also everybody's in it together. Everybody's climbing this bridge together. And every, like, it's just this moment of quiet and you can hear the steps of everybody around you. And it was definitely like almost a meditative moment for me. Right. And then the hype comes about like 200 meters before you get off the bridge. And everybody that couldn't be on the bridge cheering is like at the very base of the bridge waiting for you. And you can hear it like about 200 meters before you get off the bridge. And so like you've had this moment of calm, this moment of like, you know, you're 15 miles into the race. It's almost like a reset. And it's this moment of being like, okay, what was the purpose of this race for me right now? What do I want to get out of the next 10 miles of this race or 11 miles of this race, right? Like, so it's like a reset all moment, all to yourself, right? And then you're getting off the bridge and it's just like cheering that you can hear from like, you know, 200 meters away. And all of a sudden it like just brings you right back into the moment of the race, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pumped.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Can't wait to be in New York for November 3rd. And yeah. I can't wait for the Take the Bridge race in Montreal.
We're going to have to interview you afterwards. 20th, right? I'd really love to hear about your experience.
I'd love to. Yeah.
I just, you know, I wish I could run our race at some point just because it's literally just this moment that like is so special. And I can only hope that people get from it what I have experienced in other races,
right.
You know, and like when I hear from other people that they have, it's like, oh yes, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. You
I'll
know?
Definitely give you my feedback.
Yeah,
for sure.
Totally.
So where can people get all the information they need about the race, about you?
You know what I would say? So we have a website. It's great, whatever. But what I would say more than anything, so our website is takethebridge.us. But more than anything, I would say everything really gets announced in the moment on our Instagram, right? So it's at Take the Bridge is our Instagram. And like, you know, our stories are constantly giving you updates. And then, you know, all of our posts are giving you updates as well. And then there's always like a link to whatever is relevant at the time, you know? So whether that's like the registration for the race or like after the race, like results or photos or anything like that. So that's where you're always going to find it is on our Instagram, right?
Great.
And so I would always say like, yes, our website's great, but where I would really direct everybody is to go to our Instagram because that's where you're going to get like in the moment information for everything. Mm-hmm. Right. So that, and then what I would also say, like, if you follow me, I tend to have like, you can watch my stories and you get like insider information. So like if you follow me and you looked at my stories from last night, you know, like what bridges I scouted last night, right?
I did, yeah.
Which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
And my Instagram handle is Darcy Bud. So DARCYBUD.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Perfect. So, yeah, well, we know now registration September 9th.
Yes.
We know that the race is going to be on September 20th.
Yes.
And cannot wait for that. And I really appreciate you coming in today. It was really lovely to have a nice chat with you. And
thank you.
We've never met before, but I feel like I know you. And we'll see you when you're back in Montreal.
I love it. Thank you so much.
No problem. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Are you already subscribed to Le Rundown, running with WRG, and still can't get enough? Sign up to our weekly newsletter and always stay connected. You can learn more about what's happening in the run community, hear about exclusive events, and stay up to date with the podcast. Visit iamarunner.ca and subscribe. Simple as that. You'll never miss a beat. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Le Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to visit us at iamarunner.ca. You can also let us know what you think and follow us on Instagram at Le Rundown. Now take what you've learned and run with it. Le Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in St. Henri, Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi. And hosted by me, Justin Pugliese.